Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Porter. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
Was a nice hype girl. Sometimes we've taught Bianca, one of my friends, Bianca, if you don't know Bianca, she's on the front row being really loud, and my goddaughter, Scout, who most people would probably have seen because she's like the KCC mascot, we taught her to go, hype girl, whoop, whoop. Anyway, so I felt like that was like a hype girl Scout moment. Anyway, but hype girl, whoop, whoop, yeah, the girls, party girl, it's fun. Anyway. She's not here tonight, but shout out to you, Scout, at the Gold Coast. Hi, my name is Jessie Rose, and I am the worship pastor and on team here as one of the exec pastors at KCC. For those of you who don't know me, I'm actually married to Dan, who looked real cute in his beige T-shirt doing giving before, and he's often on the door, and he knows probably a lot of the faces here tonight because he's always welcoming everybody, and he knows people before I do sometimes, and I'm like, heck, I need to get on the door more. So shout out, if you want to meet more people, join the host huddle team and go shake people's hands. It's so fun, and also like there's no skill required besides just saying so. Like, you don't have to do an audition. Caleb won't make you audition to join the host huddle team. So he might make you audition. Like, I think that might be in the works for a handshake. Because no one wants a floppy handshake. Oh, let's talk about that. That's not in my nose. How bad is a limp? Hey, Michelle, good to see you. How lame is a like a limp handshake? Especially from a guy. I'm sorry, guys. But, like, practice your handshake. Like, you know, find a friend, a trusted friend, find someone that you can trust and say, can you tell me if my handshake sucks? Because you need a firm grip. You just need to be like assertive and like, okay, anyway. So that may be, the audition process for host huddles. But my point is join the host huddle team, all y'all. Okay. So that's me. Hello. So I'm Jessie. I love worship. I love music. You guys know I love cheese, which is funny because tonight I'm talking about gluttony, so that's a good time. And I love my husband, and I love Scout, and that's, you know. Are we okay if I get into it now? Great, okay. So we're in the final week of the Give, Pray, Fast series. Who's enjoyed the series? Yeah, it's been good. It's been awesome. We had Legacy in the middle, so it felt like we got even a little bit extra. And so the whole series, if you know, you weren't here for the last 6 weeks, has been around Matthew 6 on when we give, when we pray, and when we fast. And tonight, it's our final session we have from Pastor Kimmy this morning. It was incredible. Check out that podcast. I also want to shout out Pastor Rob's sermon from 4 weeks ago. I know this is a bit wild because it's 4 weeks ago, but go back. If you weren't here when he talked on fasting, I took pages and pages of notes because I am a fasting rookie. And so I'm going to just make a general assumption here that most of you are fasting rookies. And even if you're a veteran, I think it strengthens and encourages. And he talked about, I'm going to kind of reference some of what he shared on. So go back, listen to those podcasts. But it's been centered on Matthew 6. And so the fasting section, it's like three little verses. It's that we're going to, you know, I'm going to just quickly read to you. It says, Matthew 6, and I'll have it on the screen. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, get on with your life, don't make a big fuss of it, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Beautiful, hey? And one of the biggest things that I took away from Pastor Rob's message out of this passage was Jesus doesn't stay, because this is Jesus writing, if you fast. He says, when you fast. It's just this like, assume when you give, when you pray, when you fast. It's just a part of the Christian life. So I could preach a whole sermon to you tonight on why it's important that we practice our fasting to be seen by God and not to be seen by others. But I'm not going to preach on that tonight, Because I just have this feeling that most of you don't fast anyway. Like, because if I'm going by my benchmark, I'm sorry if I, like, that feels like I'm throwing shade. But I am, like, basic level learning to fast this year. And so I feel like our young adult crew, this is a new thing for us. Actually, let's just, can I have a little bit of lights? Just a teeny bit of house lights. If you are a regular faster, I'd love to see it. Like, if you, like, fast regularly, you feel like you, this is a regular thing, this is something you have some authority on, can you just, like, put your hand up nice and clear so I see my room? Awesome, great, I made the right call. Thank you, you can put your hands down. So, instead, I have a different sermon for you tonight. I'm going to talk about gluttony and why we need to fast. And the title of my sermon tonight is The Sin No One Talks About. Because I've never, in the flesh, heard a sermon on this. So, and it's crazy because when you start looking into it, we need it. We need to talk about this. So, that's what I'm going to dig into tonight. Are you ready? Someone said this morning, I think Pastor Kimmy said, like, you know, Pastor Jesse is speaking tonight, and there was a cheer, and then I can't remember who, someone sassy turned to me and said, it's because they don't know what, was it? Yeah, Pastor Pro was like, it's because they don't know what you're speaking on. Anyway, so here we are. So the real verse that I'm going to preach on tonight is Philippians 3, 17 to 20. This is written not by Jesus. The Matthew one was written by Jesus to his disciples. This is written by a disciple of Jesus, well, an apostle. It's by Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the church in Philippi in Greece. It's a church plant that he was a part of. He's actually writing it from chains. He's in prison. It's actually right towards the end of his life. It's one of the final letters that he actually writes, and he's really passionate about this group of, this young church plant, this group of believers, and he sends them this, and I'm going to read it from the Message translation because it just hit different, you know what the young kids say. All right, so we're going to read it off the screen and we're going to go together. You ready for me, Rebel? We got this. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for this same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. Everybody say Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross. But Easy Street is a dead-end street. Let's keep reading. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Everyone say bellies. And then say their gods. Belches. And I practiced my message on Maddie because for anyone who wants to preach, you have to practice. And she didn't know what belch meant, so I wrote in brackets. That's not in the Bible. That's just, I put that in. It's burps. Everyone say burp. I'm really loving the, like, say out loud thing tonight. So they make bellies their gods, belches their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. How good's that? All right, I'm going to pray. So close your eyes and we're going to pray together, mostly for me. Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for the power in your word. I thank you that your word has the power to divide between spirit and soul and bone and marrow. Lord, I thank you that it can read us. Lord, I thank you tonight that as we meditate on this passage of scripture, Lord, I thank you that we wouldn't just read it and go home, but Lord, your word would read us, that we would allow your voice, Holy Spirit, to convict us of any areas of our lives that we have settled for something less than being citizens of heaven, being of another kingdom. So God, I pray for grace. I pray that anything I say that isn't helpful, they just wouldn't remember. And the helpful stuff you would breathe on. And Lord, I just pray that you would give me grace to communicate it. Amen. Have you ever been hangry? Yeah, everyone's been there. I have. Oh, shade has been thrown. Have you ever been so hungry that food is literally all you can think about? Did someone say literally right now? Have you ever been mad during grace because the prayer is taking too long? Show of hands, if you've been there, I want to see it. Wow, there's a lot of really holy people who have never, maybe you don't say grace, I'm just going to, Have you ever gone back for seconds or thirds, or like I sometimes do, just like wander to the kitchen to start cleaning, but I'm just eating from the pot? Or just slicing extra cheese, just slices of cheese. Even though you're not hungry, but it just is tasty. Yeah, okay. We're all there. We're all in this together. Have you ever eaten so many slices of cheese before dinner that you've ruined your dinner? Oh, okay. I didn't know if that one was me. I didn't know if that was me. Okay, this one's a little more serious. It may get a laugh, it may not. I don't know. Have you ever eaten so much at Christmas lunch that you've actually needed to throw up? I don't think I have, but I think I've been pecking close. I've been like so close, you know. I think Brad was there at Thanksgiving. He seemed a little bit in a state like, oh, no, you didn't vomit, but you were just like barely. Essentially, I'm calling you out as a glutton. Sorry. So as a child, I thought about food a lot. I wanted to write here more than other people, but I don't know how much you thought about food as a child. But I know that I thought about food a lot. My mum and dad had this rule, which, like, you know, think of it what you will. They had a rule that between breakfast, lunch and dinner, they had a lot of food rules actually, but between breakfast, lunch and dinner, we could only eat fruit or vegetable. That's the only thing we had free access to in the house, was like the bottom most boring drawer in the whole kitchen. That's what we could choose bountifully from. And so I feel like I spent a lot of my childhood, and I don't like fruit. Maybe this is the root cause of why I don't like fruit, but I just don't get excited about fruit. Like, I see like Bianca like posting her like fruit by the pool, and Leah always eating her beautiful fruit bowls, and I love that, the look of that life. I'm like, yeah, the fruit. And Dan orders an acai bowl every time we go anywhere, and I order like the men's big brekkie, like, give me the sausage and the hash brown and the bacon and the eggs and the toast and the mushrooms. But yeah, I love the idea of fruit, but the reality of it is just not that tasty. Anyway, so I feel like I was hungry a lot as a kid. And I'm also an eldest child, so I'm the eldest of four. And Mum would also like apportion out our food so that she would make like a spaghetti packet of mince, you know, back packet of beef mince, go like across all six of us, and there'd always be leftovers. So we had these really small portion sizes. And then there's this pot up in the kitchen that's like calling. So you sit down in your seat at table, Dad prays, you're waiting for the prayer. Then he says, amen. And you guzzle that food. Well, this is just me. I would guzzle that food so quick so I could be the first one finished. Like, can I have seconds? And then I'd like race up and get the seconds. Especially it was like spaghetti macaroni cheese with the creamy white sauce. Yeah, I was like, I'm going. There was another time when I was about 10 years old. I feel like this was the height of me really loving food and just thinking about it a lot. But I remember Mum and Dad were out. I think everyone was out, actually. And the night before, Mum had made mini pies for dinner. She's come a long way in the health department. She now brews her own kombucha. But when I was 10 years old, there was this one time where we had mini pies for dinner. Anyway, so she had put a plate of mini pies in the microwave. And we had a microwave back then. We don't use that anymore either. But we put it in the microwave. And I saw her plug in 10 minutes for this plate of mini pies. So the next day, it's the afternoon. And what am I allowed? What am I meant to have in the afternoon? Yeah. But I was like, they're not home. So I open the freezer and I see a mini pie left, like one mini pie. And so I'm like, great, they won't know, they won't notice one's missing. It's, you know, it's not even a big thing. Maybe the packet was still there. So I put the mini pie in the microwave for 10 minutes because that's what Mum did the night before, 10 minutes. I walk away. Next second, like, well, a few minutes later, I smell this, like probably one of the most disgusting smells I can ever smell, which is my microwave burning, cooking itself, and plastics, like, and like fumes of like probably poisonous plastic gases. Maybe this is why I have endometriosis. I don't know. But there was fumes coming out, and I was like, what have I done? They will know I ate a mini pie in the afternoon. And so then I got the mini pie out. It had literally bored a black hole in the bottom of the plastic. I was like, I can't cover this. But I tried to get rid of the smell. And so I went into my dad's closet and I got men's deodorant. the Brute, the Green Brute brand, and I sprayed it all through the kitchen and the dining table, and I then started to feel physically sick, was dry reaching, and ran out, and I actually had to stay outside until like 9 p.m. that night. I remember eating my dinner, like my family came home, I had to confess, and I think they found it so funny, like I didn't even get in that much trouble that I broke the microwave, but I had to sit outside. Like everybody else kind of got on with it, but maybe the guilt mingled with the poisonous gases. I remember sitting outside in the fresh air being like, I can't go back in. It's too smelly. I just can't get rid of the smell from my nose. Anyway, so all that to say, as you can see, I was a childhood glutton. So I'm here to talk about the sin that no one talks about. I've taken way too long on that story. It was fun though. Like, it was fun. Anyway, so gluttony, it's one of the seven deadly sins. Who knows the seven deadly sins? We're not Catholic, so you may not, but it's, you know, that's a thing, and it's one of them. But I've never heard a sermon on it, and honestly, I get why. I get it. Like, it feels like the quickest way to offend almost everybody in the room in Australia. But you might be like, why? Well, we'll see in a minute. So what is gluttony? It is, in essence, excessive consumption. Excessive indulgence. It is. It can be a lot of different things. But the main premise is around food. But I feel like our gluttony in the West can spread wider than that. So I'm going to just go through a few different examples of it. So excessive food, like eating too much, eating for emotional support when we're not actually hungry but we're just eating. It can be binge eating. It can be excessive alcohol. I think we've got a list here. Like excessive alcohol, where you're binge drinking alcohol. It could actually be excessive gym so that you can binge drink on the weekend. Like that is actually a form of gluttony. You can be exercise. Like it can actually be. Do you see what I'm saying? Like if you're, it's enabling excess. C.S. Lewis actually talks about gluttony in Screwtape Letters. And who's read the Screwtape Letters? Yeah, a few of you. And he talks about some different types of gluttony. And I wanted to, quote a little bit where he talks about excessive food delicacy. So he writes about gluttony through like being fussy with our food. And the quote here from Screwtape Letters is, while it would never occur to her that she is a glutton because she only indulges in small quantities, here's the quote, her determination to get what she wants, however troublesome it may be to others, makes her a glutton. She is a nightmare to hosts and waiters. She is never satisfied with any food that is presented before her, whether it is too much. Oh, I couldn't. Too much. It's overcooked or improperly spiced. There's this thing in the West where we sometimes use our food snobbery to like one-up people, like to show how much we know what is fine or what, you know, and make it difficult for others. And that can actually be a form of where we're thinking about food too much and it's like linked to our image and our identity and we're being unkind through it. So, I thought it's an interesting angle. That's, you know, if you have an issue with that, take it out with Clive Staple Lewis in heaven. He talks about the other, like, excessive food pride, which is similar, you know. So there's the fussiness and then, like, the delicacy. Then there's this food pride thing, which he also writes about. Like, he makes a gender. He says that more men struggle with this. But I actually totally relate to this one. This is the food pride, where it's, like, being excessively proud and being able to recognize the best food, wine or cigars. And without knowing it, food becomes a much more important part of life than we realize. We can become a glutton through excessive emphasis on food quality as much as quantity. It's this, like, overemphasis on food. We just are overemphasizing the place that food should have in our life. It can be excessive material things, like shopping. Dan talked about it tonight in our giving, where he gave the warning in coming into the Christmas season. But we can be gluttons in the way we consume stuff. Need more than we actually really need. It can be excessive entertainment and social media. There's all different kinds. Like, I don't know what it is for you. For me, the temptation would be like Instagram and Netflix. Just like, I've got some statistics here on screen time. If you could bring that up for me, Rebel. But there's all, it could be like sport, it could be Netflix, it could be social media. But the statistics that I was looking at earlier in this week was saying that we spend, on average in Australia, 9.4 hours on a screen versus like 8.6 hours like doing face-to-face life. Like it's actually gotten to the point where in our lives, like for the most part, I don't know where that stat is, but it was a real stat and I had the references and everything. But trust me that like when they go around, and it would be including, okay, it's including things like work time, like time on our phones and on our laptops for work. But we're actually in the West now, like majority spending more time in front of screens than we are actually living. And on average, more people, most Australians or the average would say that you are actually spending more time on a screen than you do sleeping. When you look over the course of the year, you would spend more time on a screen than you do sleeping. Now, obviously, as I said, some of that's work, some of that's not over-excess or consumption, but we can fall into that where it's actually this, you know, we're drawn to the entertainment and we actually have these addictions to excessive entertainment and more than we need. Excessive self-care. We live in a generation that's like, you take care of you. You feeling sad? Get your nails done. I have sparkly nails. I got them done on Friday and I was feeling sad. So I am literally exhibit A. There you go. But manicures, massages, facials, lashes, tans, hair. I know that's the girls. And there's probably the version for the boys. I don't know. You'll get a roast later. But where we are excessive in our consumption and our feeling the spot that ultimately only God can satisfy. As eternal beings, only an eternal creator can really resolve. So can you see why we need to talk about it? So, Rebel, if you can bring back that passage, the Philippians passage, I want to just look back at that again. So Paul's writing here and he says, they make their bellies their gods, burps are their praise, and all they can think of is their appetites. And he's saying, these are the people you don't want to be hanging around, so we definitely don't want to be like them. Amen? But then he says, but there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're not of this world. We're actually of another kingdom. Amen? So what's all this got to do with fasting? Well, everything. In a world gone crazy, in overindulgence, especially, you know, coming into Christmas season, Jesus asks us, his disciples, to deny ourselves. He does. Not all the time. Don't hear me what I'm saying, but I think you'll get the balance. But in Matthew 16:24, he speaks to his disciples and he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's a massive verse. It's huge. It's like, and it's sometimes it's very conceptual, so it feels a bit hard to like, what does that practically mean, Jesus? Like, take up our cross, deny myself, lose my life, and then I'll find it. What does he mean by that? Well, fasting, when you fast, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, is a really practical rhythm that you can get into of denying yourself, denying your flesh, denying your body and saying, body, you're not the boss. And that's my first point tonight. If you're taking points tonight, write that down. Body, you're not the boss. Because we, in our culture, are being told, we're sold a lie that our body, that our cravings, our indulgences, like this is us and we need to indulge that. And if you're sad, this is the solution. You know, what do you need? Like what's going to pick you up? Rather than actually saying like, actually, probably the best thing I can do if I'm feeling low and sad is to dig in, to actually maybe put aside some food and spend some time praying and with God. Actually spend some time for me at my piano, being honest with God and being real with where my heart's at rather than shoving this consumeristic band-aid over the top of it. Jensen Franklin, who wrote the book Fasting, which Pastor Rob recommended when he preached, and we're not going to stop talking about this book, so recommend, put it on your Christmas list now, because, you know, it's a great book. I think we actually have it available at the back, so get it. But he talks a lot about dethroning King Stomach. He talks about how we are like these, we are mindless slaves to the king of our belly, and when our belly wants something, we serve it so well. But actually, we are citizens of heaven, and we have another king, and my belly isn't the boss. My body isn't the boss. Actually, Jesus is. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, this is Paul writing. He says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells within you. Our body is the temple. Our body is not the God. Our body is important and does need to be stewarded and nourished and looked after and, you know, all of the good things. Looked up and, you know, sleep. Go to sleep at a reasonable hour. Look after your temple. But your body isn't God. And in the West, we do these little things that set ourselves up that even just it's in our culture. I was talking with a young guy last night at a party, and I think this conversation came up about fasting and gluttony, and he was talking about some rules he has around coffee. Oh, she's going there. And like he was listing off his boundaries, and I was feeling real chuffed because I was like, yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. So he was like, I only have one a day. I was like, yeah, me too. I don't have it every day so that I'm not dependent. I was like, yeah, me too. I only have it before 12. I was like, yeah, me too. And then he goes, and if I feel like I need it, I don't have it. And I was like, no. We don't like that one. But what a practical way, what a practical boundary around caffeine that he's created that says, body, you're not the boss. Caffeine, you don't own me. Actually, the master of my life is Jesus. And we don't actually, we've just normalized. Gluttony is the most normalized sin. It's the sin we never talk about. And it's normalized where we're dependent on, and yes, we need food. We need water. We need, like, if you stop drinking water for a long time or eat, you know, you could honestly, most of us could probably go a month without food and we'd actually be okay. But you know, we need water, we need food, we need to be nourished. And there is different seasons. There's breastfeeding, there's pregnancy, there's many different factors that play in. So I'm not a doctor, and there's eating disorders, which is fasting gone terribly, terribly wrong. So do not hear what I'm not saying. But my main point here is body, you're not the boss. So everybody say that with me.
Body, you're not the boss.
Great. And fasting is beautiful because it's like the antithesis to gluttony. And when you start to fast, you literally, it starts to begin to expose bad mindsets and attitudes and like language and sin and like just stuff that's like lying underneath the surface that when you take the food away, you're like, whoa, there's some stuff here that like Holy Spirit wants to deal with. So it's great. And it can be moment by moment. It can be little things that you incorporate into your life to say, hey, I'm going to actually say no to food. It could be a meal. It could just be one meal. It could be one day, it could be 3 days, 7 days, 21 days. You can do Daniel fast where you actually fast delicious things, like, and it's just like basic and you just do rice or like, you know, vegetables or but just simple reminders, however you can, it's in regards to food, fasting is food, that you say, body, you're not the boss. Cravings, you don't own me. Okay, number two, my second point tonight is body, you are temporary. Everybody say that. Body, you are temporary. Fasting reminds us that we are eternal beings. That Philippians passage says, but there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're awaiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. We get a new body in heaven or in the new earth, in the new heaven and the new earth. We get a new body. He transforms us. It's beautiful. We are not of this world. And in the West, we need to remind ourselves of this every day. I am not of this world. I don't belong here. I don't belong, like everything that Chermside is selling to everybody else that is of this world, it doesn't, I'm not here. I'm in this world, but I'm not of it and it doesn't own me. I'm an eternal being. And when we fast, we remind our bodies that we're eternal. We quicken our spirits and we say, hello, I actually don't, like, this isn't my home. This isn't my forever place. I am here on a mission. I am here with intention. I am an eternal being. This life is but a vapor. If I have to go without in my life, if I have to experience suffering in my life and I have hardship in my life, I was having this conversation with someone this week, and I had this conversation with Maddie, where if you had to live in a crummy little shack for 1 week, but the rest of your life was in a beautiful mansion, it feels like a pretty good trade-off. But our life is but, it's the shack for a week. But we in the West kit it out. We are spending a lot of time making the shack so amazing where we're created for another kingdom. We're created for a new glorious body. We're created for a mansion in heaven. We're created for a house where there's many rooms. He says, my Father has gone ahead and he has prepared a place for me. There are many rooms in my house. There is a kingdom that we are not of this world. And we have to remind our bodies because they're the ones that put up a fight in this regard. Pastor Rob talked about sharpness. He preached, his whole message was around this incredible chefing analogy on sharpness and a knife. And he took, there's a spiritual sharpness that comes with fasting. I am a baby. I think the longest I've done is like 3 days. I'm a baby in the fasting department, but I've already begun to see the difference of spiritual clarity that does come, not necessarily even just when you're on the fast, but there's this lifestyle of fasting that you begin to establish where you say, body, no, you're not the boss. Body, you're temporary. Spirit, be quickened. C.S. Lewis writes in The Weight of Glory, another one of his amazing books, where he says, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot even imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Fasting helps us begin to see the holiday at the sea. I love the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. As we begin to look at his eyes, as we begin to, when we give, when we pray, when we fast, when we begin to just these little things, and you might think, what the heck, Jess, giving up a meal, how is that gonna, it makes a difference. It's this little denying yourself day by day, these little moments. Sometimes it can be as simple. I was talking with friends a couple of weeks ago about one of their friends who, she had a breakthrough in work and she was just so thankful to God for the breakthrough. I think, you know, something had happened and it was like a real, like, she was just like, God, I'm so thankful. And she had about, about half an hour walk to walk home. And she had a packet of chips for her walk home after work. And she was hungry, but she got out and she was like, God, I'm going to fast these chips. I'm not going to eat them until I get home because I just want to thank you. I just want to praise you. I just want to thank you for that. Like, it's just something so simple. So simple, but it's saying, God, body, you're not the boss. Body, you're temporary. I am an eternal being and I want to fix my eyes on you. My third point tonight. So we've got body, you're not the boss. Body, you're temporary. My third point is body, you are part of the breakthrough. Your body gets to participate in the breakthroughs in your life. Again, you might be like, what do you mean? This is such a weird sermon. I hate how much you're talking about food. I just want to go to Basil and Vine and eat some gnocchi. But there is an undeniable link between our physical action and breakthrough. Physical action, breakthrough. At KCC, we get it because Brad just went on at the beginning for quite a while about movement, and I think we're quite normalized to that. We understand that when we lift up a shout of praise, things change in the spirit. When we sing when we don't feel like it, things change in our lives. When we move our bodies and when we dance and when we praise him, when we halal, when we praise exuberantly, that's the Hebrew word for praise, and it's exuberant, and there's this word ghoul, and it means spin around. Like we see these words. Words of movement, there's actually a yoke of heaviness that breaks. He gives us a garment of praise. Praise is joyful. It is vibrant. And he breaks heaviness as we begin to dance. So we understand that here, but we need to learn the power of fasting equals breakthrough. Fasting equals breakthrough. Skipping a meal equals breakthrough in our lives. These breakthroughs can look like a lot of different things. It could be salvations in our family or in our friends that we've been praying for years, and that rock just doesn't seem to budge. Fasting gives you this extra, it's like a secret weapon. I don't know how it works. I've been reading this book, Fasting by Jensen Franklin, and he is he's a veteran in the fasting department. There is chapters and chapters of testimony after testimony of salvation, of healing, of financial provision, of wisdom and discernment for the future, for children and generational legacy and blessing. It is incredible. I remember there was one story that just stuck with me where there was this couple and they owned a bakery and they were bankrupt. And at the Christmas time, all the husband could afford to give his wife was a 75-cent card. But through a series of things that I can't fit into this story right now, they joined for the first time the church's 21-day fast, which we're doing next year. We're doing a 21-day fast. This couple, for the first time, they joined up with the church and they're like, we're fasting. And they did some sort of fast for 21 days. By the end of that year, he owned multiple bakeries and his wife bought him an aeroplane. 75-cent card, aeroplane. All throughout Scripture, we see this link between physical action and breakthrough. Israel marched around Jericho and the walls came down. Naaman bathed and his leprosy was healed. King Jehoash struck the arrows and saw the defeat of his enemy. I always felt like that story was so unfair. He's striking these arrows. Like, what's the link, man? What's the link? But there's a link. There's a link when we strike the arrows. There's a link when we skip a meal. There's a link when we choose to say, body, you are not the boss. Body, you are temporary and you are going to submit to the Holy Spirit and I'm going to see breakthrough in my life because I don't serve you. I'm not a slave to you. I'm not a slave to my emotions. I'm not a slave to my mind. It may be, Pastor Heather talked to me recently. It was amazing. She was saying that sometimes our soul is like a toddler throwing a tantrum and our spirit has to just go, soul, hush. And it just has to sort of like even visualize and say like, my emotions might be stirring. My heart might be like, you know, we sing in Fortress, my head's a blur, my heart's a mess. Our soul might be having a tantrum over here, but our spirit can quicken it. And fasting helps us to take dominion and take authority over our body, over our flesh, over our mind, over our soul. Daniel fasted and he experienced interpretation just read Daniel and you'll see the power of fasting. Esther fasted and they saw the salvation of the entire Jewish population. We saw Nineveh fast and God spared them from judgment. We saw Moses fast on behalf of Israel's sin for 40 days. Moses, it wasn't just Jesus who fasted for 40 days. Elijah fasted for 40 days. There is time and time again, we see these breaks, we see physical action equals breakthrough. Can I have the band? So I'm running a little over, but we are landing the plane. A couple of weeks ago, I asked permission to share this. I was catching up with Caitlin Freeman, and she was just talking about like that she felt really spiritually dry. And she was just feeling a bit disconnected and like felt like in worship, you know, she was coming, but she just didn't feel like, you know, do you know what I'm talking about? Where you feel like, you're there, but you're not there. Everyone else is like getting it and you're not getting it. Because I totally know that feeling. And so I said to her, Caitlin, I'm just trying this new thing. We're trying this new thing called fasting. I reckon give it a whirl. I reckon, and because she's amazing. She actually manages all of our social media pages for the church. Give up a hand for Caitlin. It's quite a lot. And we were in the thick of like album marketing at the time. And so her screen time, due to personal scrolling, but also a lot of like church stuff and marketing, like pumping stuff out, I think like her social media screen time was like up at like 8 hours a day. And she wasn't working at the time, so that was like her full thing. But I said to her, pray on it, pray on fasting, pray on what it's going to look like for you. And she came back to me and was like, yes, I'm going to do a week long liquid only fast. I was like, oh, that's a starting point. that's a dive straight in. But I was like, the Holy Spirit has said so. I'll just drink lots of water and, you know, to keep your fluids up. But just so she was doing like liquid only, not just water, but other liquids, and went off of her socials. And it was crazy. The next time that she led was team night, and I don't know who was here at that team night, but there was something just different. Like, she started to sing, I just started to weep. The anointing in the room, I actually ended up jumping up on the mic and saying, like, I think we just all need to lie down and receive under this. So the whole creative team just laid down. And then that's the next Sunday that she led. I don't know if anybody else noticed something. You don't, maybe didn't know the secret ingredient in the middle was fasting, but there was this like night and day change from like feeling dry and disconnected, and when she was leading, just feeling a bit like to like releasing this roar as she started to sing on the altar. You know, I will live on the altar. I want to be the oil. I want to be the sacrifice. I want to be a laid down lover all my life. And she starts to sing this, but it had something different on it. My friends, if you are dry, if you are feeling like a bit disconnected, if you are feeling like I've been praying and interceding for breakthrough in this area, but I'm not seeing it, this is the secret weapon. And it's a part of the normal Christian life. It's not like some special elite thing. Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, this is the invitation to lifestyle. Pastor Rob spoke a lot about it. And we don't just do it. We don't just fast to see a certain breakthrough or outcome, but actually we begin to enter into a lifestyle of fasting. You know, Jesus, who knows that verse where Jesus in Mark, he says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. The disciples pray, they're praying for this demon and it just won't budge, and they bring him to Jesus and Jesus heals the man instantly, but says this kind only come out through prayer and fasting. But he didn't call a fast. In that moment, he didn't call a fast. He didn't, you know, Jesus actually was accused of being a glutton at times. So, you know, that's just a little FYI. Don't judge other people's gluttony because you can get it wrong. Jesus was missed. So this is not about pointing fingers. This is about an internal look. But it says this kind only come out through prayer and fasting. But Jesus had established a lifestyle. He'd fasted. He came straight up out of the waters of baptism and pursued intimacy in the desert through 40 days of fasting and had established this lifestyle of body, you are temporary. Body, you're not the boss. Body, you participate in the breakthrough that I'm going to be bringing. This was Jesus. This was Jesus's example for us. He's setting a model for us. He's setting a standard for us. Hey, why don't you stand tonight?
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with Him today. When we read Scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus His Son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and He rose again so that we can have eternal life with Him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.